Once every 10 years, since 1790, a census is taken across the United States. It's mandated by the Constitution, a collection of statistics about the nation, its people, and the economy. But it's more than just numbers, what this information is used for and why it matters next on Media Meet. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. The 2020 census will count the population of every city, town, and state in the United States, impacting federal, state, and state funding for everything from hospitals and schools, roads, and housing. Joining us today to talk about the effort underway in the Upper Peninsula to make sure UP residents are counted, Amy Klickner, CEO of the Lake Superior Community Partnership, Gail Anthony, Community Foundation of Marquette County Director, Scott Urbish, the Marquette County Administrator, and Be Counted Michigan UP Census Hub Coordinator, Victoria Lenhart. Thank you all for joining me today. So obviously we're going to talk about the census a lot and really dive into exactly what it is and how it works. But first, we're talking with four very different organizations. So let's talk about the role each of you plays in the 2020 census and kind of how you all came together to work to get people to do the census. Victoria, if you want to start, you have a very long title, which is great. You're with Grow and Lead, but you're doing this. Talk about how that all came about.
So my role is on the ground support for nonprofits that work with hard to count populations. And we have grant funding available. We have $100,000 that we're giving out across the UP. We're hoping to give in all 15 counties. We're at 14 of 15, so it's really exciting. We're working on getting that last one in. And that funding was provided through a partnership that Grow and Lead has with Community Foundation of Marquette County. Gail, do you want to talk a little bit about how that funding came to be?
Sure. In 2017, the Michigan Nonprofit Association and the Council of Michigan Foundations got together as a collaboration, anticipating the census coming up, and they decided that we were going to have to do some preliminary work to make sure, recognizing that there were a lot of undercounted areas in Michigan last year, and we needed to make a difference this year, and they thought that the nonprofit status would be, and community foundations would be a good foundation for that. So they came to us, asked us if we would be the hub for the Upper Peninsula, and there were 40 other community foundations in the state that took this on. The funding ended up to be about $5.6 million totally, and they ran that through the community foundations, and then we in turn partnered with Grow and Lead Community and Youth Development, and so that's how Victoria came on to that. But again, this work began in 2017, anticipating this count.
Sure. And Amy, how about you? How do you plan all of this?
I mean, obviously the census is hugely important to the state of Michigan. So the governor also set forth a task force across the whole state of all different sectors to see how that can be worked together and partnered with a lot of the initiatives going on, as Gail and Victoria mentioned. So that's kind of where Scott and I, I'm not speaking for Scott, but that's how we kind of jumped on board. And obviously, the need for getting this critical number down is very, very important. And so I think they knew that, you know, from an economic development perspective, we have the ear of business. Business also has the ear of all the employees and so forth and so on. And so we have a great way to get messages out. And I'll let Scott talk about where his role falls as well.
Marquette County was actually approached in early 2019 by the U.S. Census to look at setting up what's called a complete count committee, and we did do that. The intent of that was to reach out to the other local governments, areas really not covered by the nonprofits, and we reached out to some of the other businesses, the hospitals, medical areas, to try and bring them together for a meeting with the U.S. Census team, which came up from Chicago area, which they did. We think we had a pretty decent turnout for that. But the idea is to start bringing awareness to the local governments and others to start talking about the census. So that was our first initiation into it. And then, as Amy noted, that we also were brought on to the governor's task force for a complete count for Michigan.
Sure. And it's really about educating the public at this point. It's getting those messages across because, you know, according to the Be Counted Michigan campaign, Michigan stands to lose $1,800 per person per year for everyone who's not counted. So how is that number figured, and kind of what happens when the number is less?
Well, $1,800 equates to $18,000 per person in 10 years. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So at the last census, there were really, in the Upper Peninsula, 82.4% of the people in the Upper Peninsula responded to the census. That left $80 million on the table. And that $80 million can certainly, Amy and Scott, you know you have places for that money. And you know, that affects everything.
Sure.
And I think that's the critical part of that is without those dollars coming in, it affects how the state, the amount of money they get for Medicaid and Medicare, and how those dollars are distributed, various school programs. And I think that's really important for people to understand that why we're advocating for that. We do talk about a number. It's not about numbers and dollars that come directly to the business community or Marquette County. It's spread in so many places and around that that's why it's so important. Without those dollars, there could be limitations on programs, and that people might end up having to try to find services through nonprofits, which is becoming more challenging as well.
And people will sometimes say it doesn't have anything to do with me, these numbers. So talk about those programs that ultimately it does.
Well, and I really truly believe if you take a moment and educate yourself about this, something touches you or someone in your family or your next door neighbor. You know, when you talk about Medicaid, Medicare, Head Start, Title I, there is all types of programs that could be raised up more if we were getting as close to 100% as we can with our census count. It touches you. It definitely does.
Sure. Sure. Any other programs?
Infrastructure.
Yeah.
Highways, bridges, roads, any kind of grant money coming in, the DNR grants. They look at the census. They look at how many people it's going to affect. And when our numbers are lower, that puts us at risk for less funding, less grant funding. So all the way around, anything that comes into the UP, they go back to those census numbers.
And a lot of these programs actually are really affecting rural areas that have lower income populations that couldn't afford to potentially pay for programs on their own or get loans for those. For example, the USDA RD has programs for water and sewer replacement programs. We were fortunate enough to get those dollars out of K.I. Sawyer, and other communities around here do that. And you get grants to offset the cost of million-dollar projects. And without those dollars, then the community would really have to pay for a lot larger bill for their water and sewer. They're very critical for doing that. Housing is another one of these where HUD funds come through the county program, and those pay for now home repairs that people can't find a way to do on their own right now. And they're very critical, and without those dollars, again, people might end up being homeless or being forced out of a home that they can't continue to pay for those needed repairs.
And in economic development, in particular rural communities, I mean, public policy is so very important to making sure that, A, we get our fair share, and B, that it's not a one-size-fits-all. And so when you look at what these numbers determine, they also determine the number of elected officials we are sending to Washington.
Sure.
You know, we have, in what is being predicted, that we will lose a congressional seat in this next census. So what does that mean? That means the current Congressman or woman will have increased territory. That means less time to focus on every individual community that they have to serve. That's tough.
Sure. And it's not just for those seats, but also for on the city, the local level, for city councils, school boards. So it's
you're talking about the redistricting.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
That's a real big thing that will happen after the census, and probably early 2021. The numbers will come out, and all those local governments will go back and look at look at redistricting and how populations have shifted potentially, and does that mean they change the boundaries on how they assign seats for county board, city council, that kind of thing. So, and on a statewide basis, same type of thing. And that's a big part of the census that comes forward as well.
So a big impact, and you want to get people involved and educated. What are some of the ways that you're doing that? What are some programs that you're putting in place?
We have grant sites, like I said, all across the UP, everything from food distribution events to low-income families in some of our more rural areas to seniors in the western side of the UP. We have some food distribution events with them. We're doing heritage events because the census data is public after 72 years. So when you're doing your genealogy, that data is what's being used on sites like Ancestry.com. So from that perspective, we have historical agencies that are really interested in how they can make sure people are counted where they are living, specifically on Mackinac Island. There's a very rich heritage of families that goes back for generations, and by having that data, it's really important to those programs around heritage. Here in Marquette County, actually one of our grantees is at the table with us. Scott, if you want to talk a little bit about what we funded.
I'd be happy to. You know, one of the concerns that I think the state has and local government and others have is that the Census Bureau is changing the way in which they're going to be collecting data. They're really trying to go to a data-driven online system, which is not the old way. The old way was they were knocking on doors and trying to collect the data with census takers. Sure. There's going to be a lot less of that this time, and that's concerning. So one of the ways in which we applied for a grant through Marquette County through her foundation there, and we received money for two laptop computers, which will be utilized and set up so that and taken to senior centers here in Marquette County, and so they can be used for seniors to potentially, if they'd like to, use that as a way to fill out their census. So it's a way for us to reach to them and to provide a convenience that they may not be able to do at their own home. So it's a simple way, a little bit of money can maybe hopefully go a long way to bring that money back into the community and available for those programs that Sure. we talked about.
And Northern Michigan University is providing some EAN routers, so we'll be able to bring internet to those communities that don't have very public access points where people can just bring a device. So sure. we're getting technology in the hands of people and also providing that internet so they can use their own devices.
So there'll be three ways people can fill out the census mm-hmm. this year: online, over the phone, and then through the mail. And that's the first time ever, correct?
Yes.
Obviously, you're hoping this is going to increase participation.
We hope so.
Yeah. We hope so. I mean, and again, change can be difficult, so it is, you know, a little bit of a change, but it does give you several options. But also, I think it's important for the things like that Scott's talking about doing, the online, it's so easy. I mean, it's short, it's simple, it's sweet, any of them, to take a moment. But if you're uncomfortable with a computer and you have the assistance to be able to do that, say, at a senior center or any event that you're having, I think it can take, you know, a lot of the worry away from people to just go in and answer the few questions and be done with it and not be hounded, you know, about not getting it done.
Yeah. What I would like to add with that is I think there's concern always about the confidentiality, and Victoria alluded to that your information isn't going to be available for 70 plus years. That's a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry about it. So I guess what the state's task force is really encouraging is that this is convenient, which Amy was saying, how if you can do it on the computer, it's very convenient, but they also want to emphasize the confidentiality of this, that this is confidential. So if you're, you know, concerned about your status as in the United States, please still fill out. We encourage everybody to fill that out, whether you're here, you know, illegally or not. That information is important for the census. So we want everybody, if you're concerned about your data, it's very basic data. I think the key that's noted in some of the literature we have is it's actually less information that's being taken on social media websites.
Sure.
So it's a very basic information. So there's not a lot there, but we want you to know it's confidential. And then I think the other thing is it's very critical for Michigan to get this information, and for anywhere across the country. So they're calling it the three C's, mm-hmm. convenient, confidential, and critical. And I think that's something we want to keep pushing out there so people will do that. And there are different ways to do it, and we're here to also help get that word out.
And I think we're saying it's not a pop quiz in a sense.
Right.
I mean, you go onto the website, the questions are there. You can become very comfortable with them. They're not, invading your personal life.
And
social media is more.
No.
Yes.
So people can review them,
yes.
take a look
it's
at them.
Basically, age, birthday,
oh,
race,
gotcha.
Ethnicity,
right.
that
gotcha.
Type of thing. Have
okay.
a household.
It's all in your Facebook status, like you said, too, I think, which is I think that's a really good thing to note.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basically, that's what's out there on your profile.
Correct.
Yeah. And I think people may remember that long form from 2010 that was really, really long. They've spun that off into what's called the American Community Survey. So no one will receive a long form during this round of the census. They may receive it 2 years from now when they do another ACS, but it's not The long form is not something that people will get. Everyone will get the same census that is those limited basic questions.
Sure. Yeah. And it seems like anytime something like this goes out, there is always that concern of trusting where it's coming from. Is the caller really with the U.S. Census Bureau? So it's always good to remember there's some things that people will never ask. Can you run through a few of those and let people know that if somebody's asking for your credit card number, it's not right?
Yeah. Credit card number,
Social Security number, anything like that. I mean, that's, and again, prepare yourself. The
sure.
questions are out there. If they're asking anything above and beyond what those questions are, odds are it's just not, you know, a census caller. You know, so they have specific questions and criteria of what they need to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the responsibility also is on you to make sure that you know and understand that. And if they're asking for more things like Social Security number and things like that, never give those out.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. And where can people go to start to be familiar with all of this?
We have a great website at the state level. It's myvoicecounts.org, and it's my spelled M-I, like Michigan. And on there, there is a sample of the census form, so you can go on and scroll through and see exactly what it will look like. You can't fill it out there. It won't be available until March 12th to be filled out. But when it does open, you will get in the mail a letter with a unique access code, and you plug that access code into the website they direct you to. And that is how you know that you're taking your census connected to your address. If you lose your access code, you can still take it without the code, but you may still get follow-up to make sure that that is your information.
Gotcha.
I think it's important to remember that every household will receive an invitation to fill out the 2020 census. So you will be prompted. It isn't, you can go and look at that
sure.
census if you want to. The questions are simple, like Amy said, but every household will receive an invitation. So we will prompt you. You don't have to worry about any of it. We'll prompt you, and the Census Bureau will prompt you. And of course, if you don't respond, we'll prompt you again.
Right.
But that is. That, you know, it isn't anything you need to worry about. You will receive something in the mail.
Sure. And the Michigan's website is becountedmi2020.com as well. So,
gotcha. Okay. Well, good places to go get some information. And of course, there's always the other side of it, that this is creating some jobs in the area. Talk about that. The opportunities out there for maybe someone looking for a temporary position.
Well, I think they're really struggling right now. So there is job opportunities with the census. As you know, we have a really low unemployment rate, whether it's here or anywhere across the country. So if you're looking for something, a little extra money, a little side hustle, I mean, I think there's some great opportunities. And again, you know, that's just bringing more dollars into our area. And, you know, they're going to have, you know, take taxes out that goes to the state and the federal and things like that. But I mean, I think there's some opportunities, whether you're young or old or just looking for something to make a little extra money and help do the right thing.
Sure.
You know, that's a great opportunity.
And those positions are anywhere from 5 to 40 hours a week and are paying up to $21 an hour in some communities across the UP. So it is a great, you could spend a Saturday doing it, and it's still an awesome wage to be getting.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I do want to just have make a quick reminder for those who may have just joined us or for those listening on Public Radio 90. We're here talking about the 2020 census. Joining us, Amy Klickner from the Lake Superior Community Partnership, Gail Anthony from the Community Foundation of Marquette County, Scott Urbish from Marquette County, the Minister of Administrator of Marquette County, and Victoria Lenhart representing Be Counted Michigan UP campaign. So thank you again for joining us today. So if we take this a step further and just look at how you all on the local level use the data, I know Amy, you use this as far as talking with businesses and you said just kind of using it as a metric for how the area is doing. Can you talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, in economic development, one of the things we measure are what we call our regional wealth indicators, and population is one of those. You know, you want to make sure that you're not going backwards in population, that you have so sustainable growth. The census, you know, we've been estimating for the last 10 years and we're showing it pretty flat. I'm very excited to see the numbers after this census to see where we are, and hopefully we've seen the growth that we're predicting, whether it's median household income and property tax values and things like that. Those are all indicators that we watch. Now, again, as we show more population growth, a lot of those wealth indicators increasing, that helps us sell this community as well. So if you're looking looking to expand, looking to attract, looking to start up somewhere. Those are all things that we sell as amenities.
Sure. And how about Scott on the county level?
We use it in a couple different ways. One, we use it as we look at trends is one of the things that we'll talk, our planners will actually go out and talk to the community about what they're seeing with population trends, aging trends, because I think when we look at the services we provide from a local government standpoint, whether it's Marquette County, the city, or some of the local townships, you want to try and gauge where the population is headed towards, what kind of services do you need? Are we aging to the point where some of the things we used to do when there were a lot more children here, how does it affect the schools? What kind of services do we need to be looking at more? Senior type functions, those are things that we look at with it. We also use the data, as I noted earlier, for granting opportunities, because very often a lot of the programs in which that we seek funding for require a low to moderate income status, and so those numbers are critical for those applications and being able to show that, and that can determine, one, your eligibility and or the eligibility for percentage of grant versus loan. So those are very important ways for us that status of the census works for us.
Sure. So obviously a lot of effort going towards this census. 2010 compared, I mean, I, from what I understand, there was some trouble with the 2010 census in the Upper Peninsula. Was there the same effort and it didn't happen? Or what happened in 2010 when you look at that?
I think Scott has.
Well, I can talk about just an example of what happened in one small community. The 2010 census out of, in particular, K.I. Sawyer, when they did the normal process at that time with the people knocking at your door, taking the data directly from people, the count came in at around 1,700 people, which we already knew based on just statistics that we had with water and sewer customers and other things that was really low based on what was out there. A special census was performed, extra money had to be paid for that, and they actually came up with a closer number to what we thought it would be at about 2,700. So there was 1,000 people that were not counted in that first round. So it shows you the risk that can happen through this process by just not doing the work, or even when we were doing it the old way. So why we want to emphasize now is a simple example, and I'm sure those types of examples can be found across the Upper Peninsula or even in all of Michigan. There was a lot of people left on the table that the dollars that were there, people that we missed, were not able to count. So it's a pretty glaring example for just a very small community. So just think how that could be on a larger area. So,
mm-hmm. So by law, the Community Foundation, our distribution requirements are to nonprofits, local nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And so in addressing community issues, community challenges, all the nonprofits that are shoring up all of those things that happen are dependent on grant, well, a lot of times outside money coming in, state and federal funding, local funding, are dependent on those numbers, on those census numbers. And if they come in lower, that decreases the capacity of the local nonprofits to be able to assist, locally. So we're getting it on both ends here. We're getting, state and federal funding, we're getting nonprofit funding. All of that funding is affected by this one thing, this simple census, this simple thing. We're asking community people or residents to do is just to fill out that form.
So from now until March, you said it is when it goes live. Mm-hmm. What's your plan? How are you moving forward?
Lots of education. Populations like snowbirds, where they may live in two different areas of the U.S., we really want to stress the message that you count where you live and sleep most of the time. So if most of the time is in the UP, you're counted in the UP. If you don't have somewhere that you live or sleep most of the time, you're counted on April 1st. So a question I often get is, what about the homeless population? All of that is determined by where they are on April 1st. And the census has staff members that will be going out to nonprofits that work with those transient populations and doing physical counts on those days. So we'll have those populations covered. Places like hospitals, nursing home facilities, the dorms at our universities here, they're all counted through an administrator or a census worker who has them fill out paperwork. So they'll be counted that way. So we're really looking at what are all the different types of people and enumerations that happen, and how do we make sure people are counted in the right place so that the UP is accurately represented.
And what are you all doing on your levels?
We're here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Step one.
Taking opportunities that come around. I mean, our complete count will probably send a committee from the county will probably send out some reminders to the various organizations. We had 100 or so that we spotlighted for ourselves to remind them of that and connect them to various sites. Through the state of Michigan, through their efforts, they have millions of dollars that they're going to be putting into efforts to raise awareness as well over the next few months. And those campaigns are going to start pretty soon, even more strongly.
And again, it's education and awareness. And I know it's hard because we're talking March and April, and we've been talking about, well, at least we have been talking about census for months.
Yeah.
But again, as we continue to gear up, and you're going to hear it a lot more, and, you know, it's linked to our website and your website and all of the ways that we can get that information out, and we'll be using our business partners to help us do that as well. Just make sure everybody knows what their responsibility is in the census.
Mm-hmm. And so then once the census is complete, everyone, the phone calls are made, the data is collected. At what point do those numbers come out and they're available? How long does that take?
They're delivered to the president at the end of the calendar year. So I believe it's December 31st, 2019 is when they'll be available federally. In March is when they're available at the state level. And Scott, I don't know if you know this, but I think it's May that you'll get them as a local government. But they roll out the different aggregations of data over time. So we won't have access to everything at the end of the year. But as we move into 2021, we'll have the different cuts to show, okay, here's the state of Michigan and what it looks like. And here's our local counties and our school board districts and our city commission districts.
And that's when the redistricting piece starts.
That would start.
And that's going to be a big process.
It will be.
You talk just briefly on what that is going to entail?
Yeah, well, it's a committee that's formed. Once the numbers come in, it's the prosecuting attorney, the county treasurer, and the county clerk, and representatives from the both the local parties, the Republican and Democratic parties, that will get together and they work on the redistricting format, review it, see if any changes are necessary.
Any other predictions that you're expecting to see?
Well, hoping to see an increase, and not just in numbers, but in participation. I mean, if we look at the 82-83%, we can do better than that.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, the closer we inch up to 100%, the more accurate the numbers, and then we can work with that.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
So in December, I was in Washington for a national funders meeting around census. First of all, the first day was census, and the second day was redistricting. So that redistricting effort is being watched nationwide. There were funders from all over the nation, and they're interested in doing the same thing that we did here for the census, because the Attorney General is putting the commission together with 13 people on it. So the UP will be very, very fortunate if we get one person on that commission, and they'll start drawing those maps. And they'll start asking for input so people can say what they think that map should look like. They'll be expecting that, that information coming. So there's going to be technical assistance needed to draw those maps nationwide, mm-hmm. and that's where the funders come in. Mm-hmm. So, it's they're way ahead of us on all of this. So the first step, again, is the census for fair representation, both financially and
okay,
the power.
Okay, that is all the time that we have for today. I'm getting a really hard rap over there, and I'm really sorry. But I want to thank all of you for joining me today, Amy, Gail, Scott, and Victoria. I appreciate it. And for those of you watching and listening on Public Radio 90, thank you and have a great week.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.